Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the show. So happy to have you back. So let's introduce ourselves.
Hi, I'm Clara. I am a big reader and very excited for this month's podcast because we're changing things up a little bit.
I am Laura, and I'm so very excited to talk about Christmas books in this podcast since it's Christmas Eve. So let's talk about Christmas Sisters, Clara.
Okay, so we both decided to read the Christmas Sisters by Sarah Morgan, and we're basically just going to talk about our thoughts on how the book went and, you know, what we felt about it.
So first impressions, so, what do you think about it?
Yeah. So it's a very cozy holiday book. I mean, I definitely recommend it for, you know, just it's Christmas. You just want to read something light, feel good. But it was also, it had enough, it wasn't like complete fluff. Like it had enough depth. And interesting storylines and characters. But it also was just cozy and you're going to have hot chocolate while you read it. That's my first impression.
Yeah, I thought it had depth. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a Hallmark movie because my other book that I read for Sarah Morgan was Moonlight in Manhattan. I think that's the name of the book. And that was a fun read. And it took me a while to get into it. So I thought I was actually scared of reading Christmas Sisters and thinking it's going to take me a while. It's just going to be a lot of, you know, it's going to be like a Hallmark movie. It's just going to be a little bit of fluff. And I was pleasantly surprised about the plot line that it discussed, that it was much more depth. And there were more characters. There was more introduction of, you know, a wide range of ages and in situations that it was definitely an interesting book to read.
Yeah. I mean, some of the themes that I pulled out of it, you know, aside from just the overall holiday theme, but there, you know, this is a book that focuses on survivor's guilt, loss, sacrifice, trying to love again after you lose somebody, forgiveness, and obviously family. I mean, even to some extent, not that it went in any real depth on this, but, you know, the choices that women in particular have to make around family, work, living the type of life that they want to live. And I don't want to, you know, say that it was like super deep when it went to that, but, you know, it was certainly interesting. Like, and I don't know about you, but I could see parts of myself in every single female character in the book.
Yeah, I can see myself in every single character. I can see myself like in the sense of like, what was the character's name? Harriet or
no, Hannah?
Hannah. And the way she avoided love, the way she just tried to distance herself because she didn't feel like she was enough when she was growing up. And I can identify with that, along with Beth and just her struggles of like how to be a stay-at-home mom and then trying thinking of going back to the workforce or just a little bit of everything from each of the characters that I can identify with.
Yeah. And so maybe it would be helpful to give a quick synopsis of what the book is without giving away the ending. But basically it is a story about three sisters, obviously the Christmas sisters, and then their mother, Suzanne, who's actually their adoptive mother. The three daughters are Hannah, who, you know, Laura, like you just said, she's the workaholic, kind of distanced herself from relationships. And then you've got Beth, who's a stay-at-home mom with, what, she have two kids or three kids? I think two kids.
Two kids.
Yeah. And then Posey, which is the youngest daughter, not married, but she stayed with their adoptive parents in Scotland, because the majority of the story takes place in Scotland. Hannah and Beth live in New York, but they all come back for Christmas. They all come back home to Scotland. And so Posey has stayed with their mom and helped with, you know, their family business, and she does rescue climbing and all of this stuff. And then the mom is Suzanne, and the father is Stuart, the adoptive parents. Mm-hmm. And their original parents, Robert and Cheryl, actually died on a mountain climb, and Suzanne was with them, along with another couple. And Suzanne tried to warn the people on the mountain to get that they should turn back, but Robert, the father, would not listen, and they were killed. Everyone but Suzanne was killed in an avalanche. Mm-hmm. So that's the synopsis, just for our listeners, of, you know, what happened. It's many years later. Everyone's coming home for Christmas to Scotland, and Hannah doesn't usually come home, if I remember right from the book.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big deal that she was coming home. So anyway, just to kind of give you a sense of how the story revolved around all of them coming home and kind of finding family again after different things are happening in their lives, and it's echoing things that happened from their past, or their past is influencing what's happening today.
Yeah, and so the story follows different subplots for each of the sisters. There's a plot around it. For Suzanne, she wants to make the perfect Christmas, and then she gets sick. So she's struggling with, you know, how to actually come to terms with her survival skill, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, so I will say, if I have a critique of the book, it's some of the male characters, they weren't, and you know, this is a story about the three sisters and the mom, so they're not as deeply drawn as the female characters in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular, their father, what did you think of their father, Rob, and how they discussed Rob in the book?
I felt like they made him out as a villain, and yes, he was single track mind about climbing and about his love for climbing, how he needed to get dance, but I think they didn't share like a full picture, and maybe because Sen didn't like him, so we only saw her perspective, where she was like, I didn't like him, so mm-hmm. I'm not happy with him. And we hear from Hannah, who was not the favorite daughter. She struggled with her relationship with Rob, so it just made him feel like he was cocky, and he was the cause for the avalanche, and you know, he caused all these horrible things that happened. They made him as a villain, as opposed to, you know, a full rounded person.
Yeah, and I felt like it was just over the top mm-hmm. how they made him a villain. It was just like, that was the part, you know, you talk about suspension of disbelief when you're reading a book. Whenever they were talking about Rob, I was kind of rolling my eyes, because I was just like, this is such a one-sided depiction of a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe, I didn't believe in him as a character, and that he was that awful. I don't know. I guess there can be people as awful as him, but it was just too simplistic. It was just like, he's very, very bad. And then I think that they tried to, again, without giving anything away, I think that they tried to, Sarah Morgan tried to give him some redeeming qualities at the end and kind of explain something that was supposed to make him more human,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't work. It really just didn't work for me. His whole character didn't work for me.
Yeah, Rob was a tough character. I think because we just were shaded by the light of the eyes of Hannah and Suzanne, who were not happy with mm-hmm. him. So we just got a perspective mm-hmm. where it's like, he's a villain, you know? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be like, he could be a good father, or he care about his kids, or he care about other people, or he did, he did XYZ that just made him a human being. We just saw him as just kind of like a villain.
Yeah, and then their original mom. So, you know, I said the male characters weren't as well drawn. Their actual biological mom, I mean, she got like three sentences in the whole book, I think, mm-hmm. which was interesting too. But I mean, again, that's a small thing for what the book gives you. Like it is just such a good little winter read. Maybe I didn't see Scotland. This is a problem I have when I'm reading. I think I just really like authors who are very descriptive. So I didn't really see Scotland per se. Like they could have been in the Rocky Mountains for all I could tell about where they were. But I did feel like it was cold and cozy and snowy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it felt like it was like you were on a Rocky Mountain, you were in a small town with the cafe and then the pub, but it felt like more of a small town story as opposed to being like, I'm in Scotland and here's the Highlands. You heard the description about it. You know, you didn't get that feeling that it was Scotland. You just felt like it was small town romance, you know, set.
Right. Yeah, but again, I mean, if you're looking for a read to just put you a little bit in the holiday spirit and you think a little bit, but not too much. I mean, I think that's what this book was.
mm-hmm. Yeah, this book was just like, it was a cozy, warm, cozy hot cocoa read that has some depth. So it was a good book.
And I like that they named the Christmas tree Eric.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was so cute. I love Posey naming everything. I was like, oh my gosh, I named the Christmas tree Eric. And then she had multiple Christmas trees. I thought that was so unique. Well, maybe other people do it, but I think that's unique to just have a Christmas tree in one room and Christmas tree in another room and Christmas tree in this other room. I felt very like...
Okay. I'm laughing because ever since I moved from New York,
yeah,
that's me.
Oh my gosh.
I'm serious. I have a Christmas tree in my living room. I have a Christmas tree in my dining room. And I'm upset because I don't have a tree this year in my bedroom. But they're not real. They're artificial trees. And this is deviating from the book a little bit. But Laura, did you know that in some places, not here where I live, but there are some cities now where they're selling, where you can foster a tree?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that you don't have to kill a tree. You foster it. I don't know what the cost is, but they bring it to you. You take care of it. You decorate it for Christmas, and then you give it back, I guess.
Oh, my God.
But I thought that was it. Yeah, exactly. But that's a real thing. At least, I guess, I don't know when it started, but I know it existed this year. I think one of the first places is they're doing it is in Portland, Oregon. Mm. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. I would do that. I mean, I love Christmas trees. I just hate cutting down trees.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had a Christmas tree. Well, I have it home where I'm in Puerto Rico. We have a Christmas tree at home, but I haven't had a Christmas tree where I live for the past 12 years. So maybe when I live in Miami, maybe I'll put a Christmas tree. That'll be my next step in terms of getting
I'm a huge I'm a crazy person. It looks like Christmas threw up in my house.
When do you start decorating? Like November 1st or after Thanksgiving?
Really after Thanksgiving, because I love all seasons. Like I'm very seasonal, and I think I get it from my mom. So I started, you know, my Halloween decorations went up. Or autumn, I really do like autumn decorations. I put those up at the end of September. And okay. I really love my autumn decorations like a lot. I mean, I had two corn stalks outside of my door. but I loved it. I didn't want to take them down. So I did it like I guess it was December 1st because it was a few days after Thanksgiving, actually, or a little bit after that. And I actually have them put up all my decorations, and I probably won't this year. But I have enough that it's ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. So. That's amazing.
And last year, I didn't take down one of my trees. This is a little embarrassing. I didn't take down one of my trees until March.
Oh my God.
I got shamed because my front door was open and my neighbor was like, you still have your tree up. And I was like, oh, yes, I do. I've just been really lazy.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we have a thing in my family. And this is what I was going to say about this book, going back to us discussing the book. So, although the circumstances are very different for me than what is in this book and our character story, what is similar is that my father passed away. I have two sisters, so there's three sisters, and my father passed away when we were kids, although we were a little bit older than the characters were when their parents passed away in this story. But anyway, so when my dad passed away, he used to keep the tree up until, you know, sometime in January. And he passed away right after, it was January 3rd, I think. So it was right after New Year's. And all of the relatives had come because he was dying. And they wanted to take down the tree after he had died. I locked one of my relatives out of our house because she was trying to take down our tree before my dad would take it down. I was a real brat. But also, I mean, I think it's a little bit understandable because, like, we're losing everything. Don't take away this tradition that we have. But going to the book, with the three sisters and losing their parents, and how particularly Suzanne tries to make their life so, she's just trying to fill the void that she's worried they're going to have. And she wants to protect them from everything. And I feel like that's how my mom was. I mean, she didn't have a steward. She just had herself. It's just like she just went over and beyond to try to make everything good for us because, you know, we had this loss. And I think there's that survivor's guilt and that instinct as a mother to try and protect your children. So I don't know. There were just things that really resonated with me in this book just because I had three sisters, because my father passed away, because my mom was like Suzanne, really. But it was a good recommendation that you gave.
Yeah. I'm glad that we read this book. This was a fun book. It was fun and it had depth. So which was a pleasantly surprised for me.
I was just going to say, well, I know. This is the only book I've had time to read. Unfortunately through the holidays, I had a whole stack that I wanted to read and this is the only one I read, but I know you read some. Any other recommendations for holiday reading?
So I read One Day in December by Josie Silver. I mean, it's a popular book because it was a book of the month pick and it was a Reese Witherspoon pick. And the best way to describe it is that Love Actually meets Bridget Jones meets, I don't know, meets another rom-com. So the storyline is she's in the bus and she sees this guy on the bus stop and she falls in love instantly. And she spends a year trying to find him. And then she meets him again when she realized that it was her best friend's boyfriend. And so we spent a whole 10 years going through the ups and downs and whether they get together or not get together. And it was a book that I had mixed feelings at the beginning of reading. I was like, I don't feel like the whole love triangle, like how's it going to work? And then at the end, I was like rooting for them and I was very happy that they got together. But it was one of those books that it was the holiday read because it happens in December and it spans over a decade. So we see a December pretty much every other year. But we see a New Year. So I would say it's a New Year's book. because it has New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the book, at the beginning of the year. So we see the character grow, like, from her perspective, like, finding a job, falling in love, trying to figure out, trying to find her way in London, you know, traveling to Thailand, trying different things. It was just definitely a really fun book to read. So if you like rom-coms, this is a fun book to pick up.
Yeah, that's in my stack.
Yeah, it's good. I read it. I didn't read it in one sitting. I read it in a couple sittings. So it was a good book to read.
Anything else you read?
I'm trying to think, because I haven't read that many holiday books. I realized I actually don't like holiday books. So yeah. So this is the only holiday theme book that I read. I read The Proposal by Jasmine Guillory, which is the wedding. It's the second, the sequel or companion novel to The Wedding Date. So, which we talked about earlier in the podcast, and it was cute. I actually liked The Wedding Date better, but it was this was a cute book. So, this one, Carlos and who's the best friend from Drew from The Wedding Date, he meets a girl in the Dodger Stadium who was getting proposed, and she turned the guy down, and so he gets her out of, you know, basically out of trouble. I'm like, okay, we're gonna get you out of the situation. Because they're probably going to be stalking you that, you know, that you turned down a proposal and the proposal went viral. So he finally starts pursuing her and it's really cute. She has a total cute girl squad and they're like, they're very excited. And Drew and Alexa showed up to the book. And so it was good to hear about what their up status, that they're going to get married and all these different things. So I enjoyed the proposal. I like The Wedding Date better, but I'm looking forward to the wedding event, I think, or the next book in the series. There's going to be a new book coming in. Those are a couple books that I read. Yeah. So I finished reading Severance, which we talked about earlier before we started recording. So your recommendation. So that had... It was definitely a fun read. I had some mixed feelings, and at the same time, kind of like I enjoy reading about something that was unique and different. It was someone who worked herself to death. So I did enjoy Severance. So that was just good.
Yeah. Well, so what about, since I don't have any books to talk about, since I haven't been reading except for this one, what about holiday movies?
So I have Netflix, so I watched The Christmas Prince and The Royal Wedding, The Christmas Prince Part 2. So I watched them backwards. So I watched The Royal Wedding first, and I didn't get all the characters and all the background stories. So I was just like kind of like lost about it. And I was hoping that it would be like a whole wedding situation, but it turned out to be having all these different subplots. So I was like, all right, I felt like this was cringeworthy. But I watched the first movie the day after, and then I thought that was actually a really cute movie. So The Christmas Prince is cute. It's about a journalist who is covering the royal, some random country monarchy, and she falls in love with him. So it was cute. That was a cute movie. And the second one was okay. And then I tried to watch The Princess Switch, which was Vanessa Hudgens and some Christmas Bake Off. I only was able to watch like the first half an hour and then I fell asleep. So I don't know if I can remember the Christmas Switch. But those are some of my holiday movies that I watched. But I know you have watched plenty of holiday movies, so tell me all about them.
Yeah, it's easier for me to watch movies than read right now, which is terrible. But I've watched a ton. I love like Hallmark movies and Lifetime holiday movies, but I'm getting a little tired of them because it's really like they're not even bothering to try and write. And it is really very stereotypical. So I just want to put that caveat. I think we all know that, but moving beyond that, so like I watched The Christmas Prince. I thought it was good. I liked the main actress because she was in iZombie, which is a TV show I really like. So I enjoyed it. And then I just started watching the second movie, the wedding movie. And by the way, the father is different. Did you know
yes, that? There is. I was like, wait, that's not the same father.
Right. And they try to play it off. They're like, oh, they're like, oh, you look completely different. He's like, oh, he shaved his beard and became a different person. but yeah, they're cute. It's like you just kind of watch them while you're doing stuff or wrapping presents. I did go with my family to see the new Grinch movie, the animated film. I loved it. I really did. It was visually like candy. The animation was just like candy. We saw it the week of Thanksgiving, I think. So it was very early in the season, but it really put me kind of in a holiday spirit. And it wasn't just following point for point the story of the Grinch. Like, they added characters and situations into it. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a cute movie. And again, like, when you're seeing an animated movie, I want it to be like visual candy. So it definitely was. I'm sad because I didn't get to see The Nutcracker, and it's mm-hmm. out of the theater already here. So I did want to see that, but I'll have to hope it comes to the Dollar Theater in a couple of weeks. and I'm super excited. I haven't seen it yet, but I just saw today that Anna and the Apocalypse is playing at the Dollar Theater in town where I live. Have you heard of this movie?
No. What is this movie about?
I feel like somebody wrote it for me. It is a movie about, it's a Christmas movie about an apocalypse of zombies. And yeah. It's a musical.
That's your movie. Yeah, that's your movie.
I cannot wait to see it. And I may be the only person who wants to see it, but I can't wait. Again, I didn't see that one. I'll just give a few recommendations for holiday movies. So if you could see The Grinch, I would definitely go see it. But on Netflix, I really liked The Christmas Chronicles. It was a cute movie. Kurt Russell was an awesome Santa. So if you haven't watched that yet, I would recommend it on Netflix. Some kind of like old school movies just to throw out there. Every year I love watching Christmas with the Cranks. It's based on a book by John Grisham called Skipping Christmas, which is a cute book too. It's a very quick read. If you're interested, but I love Christmas with the Cranks. And even though it's kind of fascist because the neighbors want everyone to decorate for Christmas. I mean, what if you're Jewish? What if you're Muslim? But it's a cute movie. Have you ever seen it?
No, I think I may have seen it. It seems familiar. So I may have seen it like years ago.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just love that movie. I watch it like 5 times every holiday season. And obviously, just like I love the Christmas Story, you know, that movie that's kind of mm-hmm. like, it's on like every day for 24 hours.
Yeah.
This Christmas, if you've ever seen This Christmas, or if you haven't, you should. It's also a really cute movie, and it's very touching and puts you in the holiday spirit. And there's also a lot of good music in that movie. Okay, here's a weird one. I don't know if people really think of this movie as a Christmas movie or a holiday movie, but I like to watch it this time of year, When Harry Met Sally.
Mm.
It's just like the New York Christmas. Like, yeah. I mean, they go through all the seasons in the movie, but you know, they're pulling the Christmas tree and the New Year's party and everything. I just love that movie. And I always watch It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street, the old ones. I actually went, they showed it in the movie theater here. Like, we have Flashback Cinema. And last year I took my mom to see It's a Wonderful Life because she'd never seen it on a big screen.
Mm.
And it is different. Let me just tell you, if you have the chance to go see it in a movie theater, it's different than watching it on TV. Like, you see things and notice things you didn't notice because the screen was small on a TV. Mm-hmm. But while I was getting popcorn, one of the kids behind the thing was like, oh, I saw that movie. What's that movie about? I don't know that movie. And I was like, what? You have to watch it. But, you know, I mean, it's a cute movie. And then the last one, this one is like sentimental, I think, for me and for my sisters, but, or at least my one sister, is Santa Claus, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Yeah, with Dudley Moore as the elf.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, yeah. That movie, I don't know. We saw, my dad took us to see that movie when we were kids. And me and my sister love that movie. It's just cute. So that's a long list. I mean, now in terms of like what's on Hallmark and Lifetime right now, I can tell you, I still can't find the name of that movie, Laura, that I was telling you about. But there is one movie about a florist at Christmas, and it is so awful. I can't even tell you. So there's a lot of the holiday movies that are on TV right now that were like made for this year that are a little bit ridiculous. But again, if you're just wrapping presents, you know, cleaning your house, you know, it's nice to have holiday movies on, but stay away from that florist movie on Lifetime.
I will. I'll stay away from those movies. Yeah.
Yeah, so those are all mine, but I wish I read as many books as I watch movies.
That's okay. That's all good. So, so now we want to hear, what are you currently reading or what are you currently watching? So come on over to the blog, whatyournextblog.com/90, and share your favorite book recommendations or movie recommendations. Just a priority note, over the next year, new episodes will release once a month, perhaps a special episode every other month.
So thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We'll be back in a month with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, if you do enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This will help us get it discovered by new audiences. And we wish you a very happy new year.
Thanks,
everybody.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.